Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome and thank you for tuning into In the Arms of the Angels, hosted by Dr. Kai McNeil on Spiritual Connections Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Mark Rawson. I'd like to welcome you to another night of Spiritual Connections Radio, In the Arms of the Angels with Dr. Connie. As you know, she's on every Thursday from 8 to 9, and we've been making a lot of radio changes with a lot of programs moving around, but we want to let you know that this show is not moving. As we mentioned on the earlier show, Melissa Heavener, who has Lattes of Heaven, who's on Thursdays at 6, her show is actually moving to Fridays at 8 o'clock. So if you want to find out more about this and the other changes that are occurring at the radio show, go ahead and check out our website at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. If you'd like to call in for a reading this evening, please call 646-716-9663. And it's all yours, Dr. Connie.
Okay, thank you, Mark. Good evening. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for making me part of your moment, wherever you are. I'd like to start out with a prayer. Heavenly Father and all the angels in heaven, the archangels, our guardian angels, the romance angels, the angels that protect us and watch over us, the ascended masters, the wise ones who have gone before us, who are always ready to lend their wisdom and support. Thank you so much for this time. Thank you for being in our lives. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and may this show be a blessing this evening. Thank you. I wanted to start out this evening by describing a game to you, and I'm sure most of you have heard of it, and you've probably played it, but if not, I'll do my best to explain it to you. The game is called Jenga, and it's J-E-N-G-A. And it's constructed of little wooden sticks. And you stack these sticks. You have two going north and south, and then you take two going east and west, and you stack it on top of that. And then you go back and forth with the north and south and east and west, north and south. And you go all the way up until you've put all of these sticks and you've made this tower. And then what you do is, as carefully as you can, you start pulling the sticks out of the tower. And the object of the game is to not be the one to knock the tower down. So you're trying to find strategic places to move these sticks so that your tower still stays standing. So the place that you don't want to move are the pivotal pieces of the foundation. There may be some down toward the lower base that you could move that couple of those pivotal pieces that if you move those, the whole thing's going to come crashing down. And one of the things that I believe the angels wanted me to speak on tonight was the you being the pivotal piece in your own journey and your own spiritual walk. And it's honoring who you are. It's honoring what you are. Honoring and beginning to either love for the first time or fall back in love with this, with this earthly form that you chose to come into when you incarnated into this lifetime. And obviously we've all come in, you know, shapes and sizes and colors and textures and you name it, we could find differences in it. And it's learning, it's burning hell, and it's the acceptance of who you are. Because if you look at yourself as being less than, or you look at yourself and compare yourself to somebody else, or you look at an aspect of yourself and say, I will never be able to achieve what I want because of whatever, fill in the blank. It's like taking that foundational piece of your Chinga tower, and the whole thing just crumbles. One thing that the angels wanted me to share with you is one of the ways of learning how and reacquainting yourself with how incredibly amazing you are is to stay in the spiritual flow, to stay in the abundance that God has for us. And by abundance, it could be abundance in everything, because the angels say, we don't know anything else but abundance. We've always been in abundance, and we want to show you abundance in everything, abundance in love for yourself, so that you can have a stronger love to give other people, abundance of looking at how beautifully crafted the earth is, the flowers, the sunset. I know there are still some places that are getting snow, feeling the crisp cold air, or feeling the desert heat. The tapestry of nature, and that we are one with that. And when we are in this flow of just appreciating and being grateful and looking at the silver lining, it opens us up for even greater abundance. And God is not, and there are people that have roamed this earth that have been able to do amazing things and change either the small part of their world or the world at large, in spite of the fact that they were not perfect. And a couple of the people that I wanted to start with was both of them are in the Bible. One is in the Old Testament, one is in the New Testament. So most of you are familiar with the story of Moses, that he was, his people were being invaded by an army that was going to kill the baby boys. So his mother puts him in a basket, sends him down the river. An Egyptian queen picks up this basket, knows that it's it's an Israelite baby, but takes it into the castle or the palace and makes this child like her son. And then when Moses becomes a young man, he sees a Egyptian soldier beating an Israelite, and he kills the Egyptian soldier. And then he runs away. When he's running, and when he's out in the desert, and when he's gotten away from the kingdom, and he's wandering around, is when God begins to speak to him about going up to Pharaoh, who is the leader of the Egyptians, and giving Pharaoh God's message to let the Israelites go. First off, Moses, he's a murderer. He killed a man. He was so angry, and he wasn't able to control his temper, that he struck another person and killed him. So another issue that Moses had, besides his anger, is he stuttered. He had a speech impediment. So when God asked Moses to go before Pharaoh, Moses said, I can't do it. I can't talk right. Let my brother Aaron go, because Aaron is a very eloquent speaker. And God said, no, I want you to go. So in spite of the fact that Moses was not eloquent in speech, and he had a very apparent speech impediment, and he could be very angry, God still chose him to be his spokesperson to free an entire nation. And Moses was a choice, because we are always a choice. Moses could have said, can't do it. You're asking me to do something that's way too big. I'll never be able to do this, because look at what I've done. Look at how I talk. You need to go find somebody who's more worthy to do this great thing that you're asking. Another person that I find very interesting in the Bible is the Apostle Peter. Peter was another hothead, very angry, very prideful. And he was one of the closest people that walked with Christ for 3 years. He was one of the inner circles. Whenever Jesus wanted to get alone, whenever he wanted his most trusted and closest people with him, one of them was Peter. Peter boasted to Christ that he'd die for it. I'm so into you, you know, Jesus, and I would so back you that I would stand and die for you. And it was that very night when that Jesus was arrested. That three different times the soldiers would come up to Peter and they said, do you know this man? And Peter said, I do not know this man. Three different times he denied even knowing Christ, after just hours before boasting that he would die for him. God sees, and the universe sees, and the angels see the heart and the potential. They don't see the stutter. They don't see the temper. They don't see the pride and the boastful. They don't see the imperfection. What they see is the ability in someone that has the heart follow in the steps of where they're asked to go, even if they know from the get-go it's not going to be perfect. And the universe is so willing to work with us that we have multiple opportunities. I call them revolving doors, but we have multiple opportunities to look at the things that hold us back so that we can work through those issues, that we have our life lessons, that we have our the events that come in our life. Because everybody has a purpose, and everybody if they're in the flow, are looking for ways to move toward their purpose. So when Easter morning comes and Mary's at the tomb and Christ comes out of the tomb, he tells Mary to go tell my disciples that I've risen. And then he said, oh, and tell Peter too. Because the universe knows, the angels know, our higher self knows when we need to have that, oh yeah, we're going to tell you too. We're going to make a special point of just zeroing in on you and letting you know how much we love you, how much we need you, how much we want you to be a part of our, a part of what we have for you. And, of course, Moses has gone down in history as the leader of the Israelite nation. This rock, I will build my church. Now, he wasn't talking about Peter, per se. But he was talking about the spirit in which Peter lived his life. And a lot of times we need to be humbled. A lot of times we will find our moment to shine only after we have been brought to our knees. So it was very difficult for Moses to be prideful if he is stuttering. And it's very difficult for Peter to stand and say, look what I did for Christ, and he denied him three times. But it was the following your heart and following your divine purpose. And it's becoming less focused on the trappings of your body, how tall or short or you know, black or white or green or yellow or thin or not so thin, or whether you have all of your limbs or whether you're missing something. I was reading about a guy. I'd actually seen a movie a long time ago and I had forgotten. So I was glad to be reacquainted with a guy by the name of Christy Brown, who was born with severe cerebral palsy. And he had no muscle control. So he couldn't talk. He couldn't walk. He couldn't give you any feedback that if you were talking to him, they actually knew what was going on. But the desire in him and the life in him was so big that when he was 5 years old, he was able to rise on the floor almost like a snake because he couldn't crawl. He couldn't, you know, couldn't really roll. He had no muscle control except for his left foot. And he grabbed a piece of chalk from his sister and wrote a mark, an X, on her chalkboard with his left foot. And actually wrote books because the inside was so huge that the outside, it had to come out, and the outside could not contain it. A man by the name of Jean-Dominique Bobbe had what was called locked-in syndrome. Had a medical condition that caused him to be in a coma, and when he woke up, his inside worked. His mental capacity, his bodily functions, everything worked. But he was completely paralyzed, and the only thing that he could move was to blink his left eyelid. And he actually He actually wrote two books. And what he did was somebody would stand there and say the alphabet, and when they got to the right letter, he'd blink his eye. So it was it was crafted letter by letter, word by word. And he actually edited all of these books in his head and then was able to edit them through just blinking his one eye. Inside becomes so big with what God wants us to do, with what our purpose is, that it's bigger than the body that contains it. And you're able to support your Chinga tower, even though people are taking this piece out and they're taking this piece out, and they may be calling you names here, and they may be breaking your heart there, and you may have lost, you know, a job opportunity here, or you may have, and people are poking and you know, taking these sticks out of your tower, and you can look at it, and there's holes in it. There's holes in it. But you've got that foundation. And you can take a lot of, the Chinga tower can take a lot of hits, a lot of hits, if it has a strong foundation. So what the angels want you to know is that staying in the universal flow does not mean perfection. It does not mean you have to say it right, it is, or do it right, whatever it is. You don't have to look a certain way, be a certain height, be a certain color, live in a certain area of the world, have a certain amount of money. When the spirit is ignited on the inside, there is nothing, nothing that is going to stop the spirit from emanating. People who feel depressed, or they feel they have like just a heavy wet blanket over them a lot of the time. And there's billions of dollars spent on antidepressant medication. So what if you feel like your inside is not working right? A lot of people believe that Abraham Lincoln won the presidency because people were so drawn to him because of his depression. It somehow made him human. It somehow made him approachable. It made him touchable. I can relate to you because you hurt, and I hurt too. So a lot of on the inside, when we feel broken and when we feel like we're not whole, and maybe we can speak great, and maybe we don't have a hot temper and we're not prideful and boastful, but we have that inner peace, the inner peace of us that just doesn't work. Many times what we can learn through going through dealing with our issues is what softens us, helps us to be compassionate, helps us to reach other people because we've been there. Sometimes God will heal a particular issue. Sometimes he won't. The Apostle Paul in the Bible, he had what they call a thorn in the flesh. No one really knows what that is. The Bible doesn't say. But there's three times mentioned in the Bible that he asked for that to be removed, and God said no. So if you find that you're stuck with a something, whatever that something is, it's part of when you came in to do your life purpose, when you came in to fulfill that great thing that God needs for you to do and that you chose to do to make this a better world and to do your piece in the world. when you chose the body that you did, and you chose the time to be born, and you chose your purpose, it came with a package. And part of, for some people, part of that package is feeling broken on the inside, or having to deal with depression, or feeling nervous, or feeling it's understanding that you don't give in to the depression and the anxiety, because it is part of what you came here to do, and actually it's working through that that gives you the ability to touch people. It softens you up so that people will can relate to you. And you make, a lot of people make even a bigger impact on the world through their pain, more than the fact that they were able to, you know, skate by and not really suffer, not really go through anything. One of the reasons that Anne Sullivan, who was Helen Keller's teacher, was so drawn to Helen was because Annie Sullivan was legally blind, and in fact later on in her life she did go blind. So it was her, through her own affliction or through her own weakness, that she was able to see the strength in somebody else, because she went through having to live life as a near blind person and suffering the loss of her younger brother in an orphanage, that she was able to reach Helen the way that no other person had been able to do. So if you can look at yourself, warts and all, as part of the bigger plan that God has and that you chose, it makes it easier to accept and to deal with a lot of what happens to us. And life is not fair. And we don't look at other people and say, wow, you have it easy while I'm sitting over here, you know, having all of these problems. Because I chose this for a greater purpose. I chose this because I need to have this. Like Paul, I need my thorn in the flesh. Because I need that thing to continue to work through to actually keep me on my path. So, Mark, I'm going to let you come in now and do your 30-minute thing.
Okay, I get 30 minutes. Thank you.
I'd like to
let everybody know you're listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. This is In the Arms of the Angels with Dr. Connie. Make sure to check out her website because she has that new special on there for the email readings. And you can get to that by going to drconniesays.com. Please call in for a reading at 646-716-9663. That's 646-716-9663. And to find out more about the radio shows, go to our website, which is spiritualconnectionsradio.com. Okay, Dr. Connie, back to you.
Alrighty, thank you. So what would it be like for you if you closed your eyes and you took a deep breath? And after you took a deep breath, you took another deep breath, and then another. And every time that you inhale, it's like pulling your conscious self into awareness of this fantastic piece of machinery that you have commandeered to come into this lifetime. and house your greater self, your real self. And to really be grateful, thankful for your liver, for your kidneys, for your heart, for your fingers and toes and your brain and your eyeballs and your ears. To really be aware of this encasing of your higher self. And to pour genuine love and affection into every cell of your body. To genuinely be grateful, can see and do your daily chores and feel, actually have the ability to feel pain or to feel joy. The senses that we have, that if we got up every day, and I would challenge you for the next 30 days, for the next 30 days, before you get up out of bed, spend a minute just really thanking your body for taking such good care of you. And know that whatever type of body you have, whatever mental health condition it is in, that you are so grateful and that you promise yourself every day for the next 30 days that you will take the very best care of yourself that you can. And the reason that I'm saying 30 days is because a lot of people believe that it takes about 30 days to break a habit. So if you have a habit of looking at yourself and saying, oh, why do I have this, or how come I'm not like, or whatever. If you have a habit of saying how tired I am, how fat I am, how horrible life is. And just a quick thing about saying I am. When there's only a couple of times that I am is mentioned in the Bible. The first time is when Moses was walking in the desert and he sees this bush and it's burning, but it's not burning up. The fire is just staying lit, but the bush is not being consumed. And when the voice in the bush is telling Moses, go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go, Moses says, who sends me? Who are you? And the voice said, tell him that I am sent you. And I am is the word for God. It is the signature of God. Fast forward to Jesus when he's being persecuted and he's just hours before he goes to being crucified. And they keep asking him, you know, tell us, are you the king of the Jews? And they're trying to have him confess. And he doesn't say anything, never says anything, when they spit on him, when they beat him, when they didn't say anything. And then finally they say, you know, are you the Christ? Are you the Son of God? And he says, I am. So when you say I am, you are invoking the power of the universe. So when you are saying, I am tired, I am fat, I am lonely, I am depressed, I am finished. I'm done. I'm through. I am never going to get this job. I am not able to do this. You are putting a lot of power behind those two words. So I would caution you and be very mindful if you're going to say I am and you're going to actually make that statement, something in there that you really want. I am powerful. I am loved. I am forgiven. I am abundant. I am love. I am exactly where I'm supposed to be on my journey. I am doing my life work. I am so joyful. Staying in the flow. And it's being aware of who you are more times than not being aware of it. We all have the trappings of being in a human body, so we're going to feel pain, we're going to feel tired, we're going to feel hungry. We have the needs to take care of this earthly vessel that we've chosen to come in. And I'd thank your vessel. I'd say, man, I'm glad I picked you. Because you are perfect. I chose you specifically because you are perfect for me to fulfill the life and the job that I came here to do. And I need this body to do that. If and when we struggle, it's because it keeps us in the flow if we can accept it as, I chose this, I am where I'm supposed to be, then if you're depressed like Abraham Lincoln, and I think a lot of people say he's the greatest president we ever had. But one of the reasons that so many people love him is he's just so human. He wore his grief for the death of his children and the Civil War and freeing the slaves. He wore it like a coat. And the people just loved this man, flamboyant, but because he was so human. And if we're going to shine our light and be light workers, the one thing that we have to do is be able to relate to the people that we came here to serve, which reminds me of a story about a man who didn't believe in God or Jesus, or this was around Christmas time. So his wife and children were going to go to church and the Christmas festivities and honor the birth of Jesus whether you believe in the physical birth or whether you just believe in the symbolism of the birth, this man just refused to go. So the family goes on their way. Husband's sitting down. He's, got the fire lit, watching whatever he's watching on TV, and he hears a bang on the window. He can't figure out what it is. It's snowing outside. It's going to be a blizzard. It's very treacherous outside. And keeps hearing this bang on the window. He looks up and he sees a bird, and the bird has lost its path in its migration. And he knows that this bird is going to die. It's going to freeze to death if it doesn't get into somewhere warm. So he goes out and he puts his you know, puts his stuff on, shoes and coat and whatnot. He goes out to the barn and he opens the barn door. It's warm. There's straw. There's light. There's little, you know, things that birds eat in there that he could be fed. And the bird's afraid. So the bird starts falling off, and the man is burdened because he's really, for whatever reason, he's really attached himself to this bird and saving this bird. So he tries even harder. He waves his arms, and he tries to get around the bird and you know, herd it into the barn. And the more he waves his arms and does these human things, the more it frightens the bird. And then he said, if I could become a bird, I could show this, I would fly in there. I'd go tell the bird and I would show the bird how to go in there. And just when he said that, the church bell started to ring. And he finally got it. That a God would come in a human form to be able to help other humans. Because if God came in the God form, it's like this man trying to shoo the bird in the barn. That's why you are in the body you are in. That's why you get to love and honor and cherish and nurture and motivate yourself to take as good a care of your body as you can. Because this is the body you have chosen to do your great work. If you were going to take the look at the person that you admire the most, the person that you would like to copy the most. And it can be anybody, dead, alive, a relative, you know, somebody from history or somebody that you don't know. And what is it about that person that is so attractive to you? What is it about their beingness moves you to say, gee, I want to be just like you when I grow up? And whatever that is, that spirit is already alive in you, or you wouldn't have been attracted to that person. And I'm not talking about being attracted to somebody who's, you know, a supermodel or a football player or who won a gold medal in the Olympics. Somebody who is their essence and their spirit is something that really speaks to you. That, wow, if I could just be them, then I could do whatever. It's being aware of that body that you are in, that great thing that you see in this other person is in you, or you would not be attracted to that. You do not have to go out and find your power, your purpose, your that special thing you're to do. It's already in you. And it's honoring and loving yourself that brings that essence alive. Mark, I'm hearing noises and I don't know if you're coming in or what, so that's why I keep pausing, because I kind of sounds like you're trying to come on the air.
No, I'm muted on my end.
Okay, that's good. But sometimes when you unmute, it makes noises, so I wasn't sure. And another thing that the angels want you to do is they want you to go have some fun. They want you to laugh and be silly. They want you to dance. They want you to enjoy nature. If you can get by with it and no one's looking, go skinny dipping. If you're, you know, find something that really makes your heart sing. Because we get so caught up in walking this spiritual path like it's this hard road that there's no joy left in it. And it's like picking up rocks and trying to, you know, squeeze water out of it to get one drop of life. There is a balance in the flow. And part of enjoying your body, going out and having some fun with it. So I would make a date with you. Make a date with you to do something pleasurable that you enjoy doing this weekend. You can go with somebody else if you want, but you have to go with you. And you get to go as saying to yourself, I am engaging in this activity because there's nobody else I'd rather be or nobody else I'd rather be with. Because I know that everything that I ever hoped or wanted is found within me. And when you do that, you will stay in the flow. And Michael is telling me that he wants, in the closing, to do a reading for you.
Okay, Dr. Connie has actually dropped off, so we're going to go ahead and throw in a nice angel song for you to listen to while we wait for her to come back online.
Spend all your time waiting for that second chance, for a break that would make and it's hard at the end of the day. I need some distraction. Oh, beautifully, memories seep from my veins. Let me be empty while weightless, and maybe I'll find some peace.
Dr. Connie.
Is there any way to play that in the background while I'm giving this reading?
Yeah, let me see if I can bring it in so it doesn't overwhelm. Okay, go ahead.
All right. So here are the three things that Michael wants you to know before this show is ending, and I apologize. My phone just died, and I don't know why that happens, but it did. So the first thing that Michael wants for you is to decide to be happy now. Your fulfillment does not come because you have achieved a certain something. It has not your happiness doesn't rely on a job or a person or an achievement. What it relies on is you just deciding that you are perfect the way you are right now, and that you are going to continue to move toward being your best. Another thing that Michael wants you to know is that the angels work in many different ways. And so some of the things that we ask for and some of the things that we pray for are not going to be like black and white. They're not going to be so glaringly obvious that you go, oh, well, yeah, that's the angels. I knew that. So sometimes you get to use your imagination and you get to think of, get out of your comfort box of thinking about this is exactly the way God's going to work and giving the angels room to be creative. And then Michael wants you just to move forward and just go very fearlessly. Go with the knowledge that you have God on your side, that you have you on your side, you have the angels on your side, and that because you created you to be just like you are right now, there is a purpose for that. If you don't like something that's going on and you can change it, change it. Get out, take a walk, take your vitamins. You know, do something that helps you feel that you're taking the very best care of this body that you can. So, Mark, do you have anything as we end here, or we can just end with the music?
No, I think we're all set. I want to just say goodnight to everybody, and thank you, Dr. Connie.
All right, goodnight. Thank you.
Good night.